Let's look in our Bibles to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon. That's right before the book of Hebrews. Okay, so you find Revelation, work your way back, you find Hebrews, and then you work your way back just one page from Hebrews, and you got Philemon. Just going to read one verse here. Well, now let's read first 6 verses. I was going to read verse 6, but let's read verse 1 and 6. Apostle Paul is writing this, and they tell us that he was in Rome when he wrote this. So Paul says here, he said, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy our brother, unto Philemon our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and unto our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace. Notice Paul always starts his letters with grace and peace. That was Paul's theme of all of his writings, is the grace of God and the peace that we have with God. He said, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Paul said that was his prayer, that the communication of their faith would become effectual by acknowledging every good thing that is in them in Christ Jesus. And back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, First Corinthians is right before 2 Corinthians, in case you didn't know. Right after the book of Romans. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Paul says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Of him, that's of God the Father, he said, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Matter of fact, if you go back in that chapter a little further, a little earlier on, verse 21, 1 Corinthians 1:21. Paul says here, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now remember, we've been talking about this for a while. All God requires from us is believe. We don't have to work through all kinds of ceremonies, and I keep saying this over and over and over, but I don't know any other way of saying it. We don't have to work through all kinds of ceremonies or rituals or festivals, and you know, there's people that tell us. I've talked to people, and I talked to one minister a couple years ago, and he said he had people in his church that were trying to bring in the Jewish festivals, bring in the Jewish songs, bring in everything Jewish, you know, and you can't be a real Christian unless you are real Jewish as well. Well, isn't that what we've been talking about in the book of Galatians? That's exactly what the Judaizers were saying. You can't be a real good Christian unless you're a real good Jew. And Paul said, no. He said, you're missing the whole point. He said, we're no longer under that. He said, we're not under law, we're under grace, he tells us in the book of Romans. And so he's saying here, after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's all that God required, is that we believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. You know, and as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. So it's just believing and accepting Jesus as our Savior. That's the only thing that God requires from us. Jesus already paid, as we've been talking about over and over and over, Jesus already paid the full price. But notice what he says here, the world by wisdom knew not God. You know, let's read on, touch on that again. Verse 22, for the Jews, over here, they require a sign. Okay? The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks, that's the Gentiles, that's the pagan world in that day, the Greeks require or seek after wisdom. He said, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. They can't understand that. How could God come and die? They couldn't understand, and they had that problem with it. Even to this day, if you talk to a Jewish person about Jesus being their Messiah, they don't understand it. How can God? God can't die. It's their logic. God can't die. Well, God, in one sense, can't die, but he came in human flesh so that he could die. You know, and so they can't understand that. So this is what he's saying here to the Jews. This is a stumbling block. They just can't get past that. It makes them stumble. They can believe along certain lines, but all of a sudden, when they get to this, they just can't understand it. Matter of fact, even Paul, when he would preach even to some of the pagans, the Bible says when he came to the resurrection of the dead, that Jesus rose again from the dead, people just left. They said, that's a bunch of foolishness. That can't happen. You know, you read that through the book of Acts over and over. You see Peter and them going in. As a matter of fact, when Peter started preaching the gospel in the book of Acts, the Bible says every time, and you notice this, every time when they're preaching the gospel, and it says, you know, God sent Jesus, you fellows took him, hung him on a tree, as we talked about this morning. He said, but God raised him from the dead. And the minute they start speaking about the resurrection from the dead, the people will get mad. They said, that can't happen. That's foolishness. You're talking a bunch of garbage. So to them, it was a stumbling block. They just could not understand that. But to the Greeks, the pagans, now the Greek were into mythology and all these different things, and they were looking for wisdom. You had to explain God to them somehow. And we still got that in our world today. People say, well, you prove to me that there's a God. You know, you know. But listen, notice what he said in the first verse we read there, verse 21. The world by wisdom, that's by the world's wisdom, knew not God. I mean, you can study science, you can study space, you can study, all kinds of medical things. You can study everything you want to. It's not going to explain to you salvation, that you're going to need redemption and all these different things. That's foolishness to the world. But he said, to us who believe, it's the wisdom of God. Okay, now let's move on. Verse 22, to the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, it's a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Then he goes on, he said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then he goes on down in verse 30 we just read, but of him, of Jesus that is, or of God the Father rather, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God, God made him to be our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. So he's saying, God the Father worked this plan out, you know, in eons of ages past, that Jesus would become the wisdom of God for salvation. It's all wrapped up in Jesus. The wisdom, as I said, you can study all kinds of sciences, all kinds of math, all kinds of philosophies and everything else, and you're never going to come to the conclusion that, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and life ever after and all these different things that you got to be saved. You'll never find that in the world's wisdom. But he said, God made it so that Jesus would become the wisdom of God for us. In other words, the things that we need to know about salvation, redemption, all is wrapped up in Jesus. He became the wisdom of God for us. Okay, now, going back to Philemon there for a minute, where we started out, in verse 6, Paul said that the communication of your faith may become effectual. Communication of your faith may become effectual, and the word effectual means to be divinely energized. That the communication of your faith will become divinely energized by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And when we look at, and getting back to what we've been teaching here on Sundays, you have a group that's trying to get to God by their works, and we still got this today. I mean, we talk about the Jews and the Gentiles and, you know, the Old Testament, New Testament, and all these different things. But we still have people today that still try to serve God from this standpoint. They try to serve God, and if you talk to them, and I've talked to people, and we all have, I'm sure. You talk to people, and, you know, the conversation comes up about serving God and living for God or salvation, all these different things. Well, and they say, well, I've been a good person. I've not hurt anybody. You know, I pay my taxes. I'm a good citizen. And we talk about all these works that we've done. Nothing wrong with these things. We need to be doing these things. But they're not going to save you. You know, and so righteousness that comes by works, if there's any such thing as that, because we know we can't do it, but if it was possible to be saved by our works, you'd have to keep trying all the time to try to please God. Every day you wake up and you think, well, or you go to bed at night, I wonder, did I please God today? Was I good enough today? You know, and I've lived through that myself. You know, I wonder if I lived in such a way that God is pleased with me today. And we're always trying to better ourselves, trying to better our standing with God, and we figure, and I've said this dozens of times, but we figure that if I've been a real good person today, and I haven't lost my temper, and I've kept my cool, and I've, paid my bills or whatever, you know, and I've read my Bible and I prayed and I went to church or whatever the case, well, you know, I feel pretty good about myself today. But the next day, you got to go through all these things again to try to feel good again. You know, and that's what we were saying earlier. I'd rather live by faith than try to make it out of feelings. Feelings will rearrange. But God's word will never change, you know. So we try to do that, and we try to pick ourselves up and pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, so to speak, and miss the whole point that righteousness is not coming by our works. Righteousness comes by faith. So over here, you're always trying something, but over here, you know something. So if you had a bad day and you just never got things worked out the way you thought, you know, sometimes, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes as even as a pastor, now, I try to read the Bible and pray, and, you know, as a consistent thing. But there's times you wake up in the morning, and all of a sudden, as soon as you wake up, the phone is, you know, ringing. Somebody's in a situation, you got to run. You don't get a chance to read the Bible. You don't get a chance to pray. And you go through the day, and you're running from here to there, and all of a sudden, you go home, and you go to bed at night, and you thought, man, I never had a chance to read the Bible. I never had a chance to pray. I never had a chance to, you know, do anything today. And if you don't know you're standing in Jesus, you get pretty discouraged. I said, man, you know, this is not good. You know, and you condemn yourself, or the devil condemns you, and you don't need to condemn yourself. You got a devil that's out there condemning you anyway. And he'll put everything, all this pressure upon you. You know, you're not so good a Christian you think you are. You know, and he put all this pressure upon you, and you lose that joy unless you know you're standing. Unless you're secure where you're at. See, over here, if I'm living under this situation right here, and I keep going back and forth, I have this page or this carpet wore out here because we're going back and forth here all the time. But back here in this situation, I'm always trying to please God, always working at it. And the minute I don't please God, or I feel I don't please God, I'm discouraged, I'm frustrated, I don't know what to do with myself, and I feel that God is against me, and every time something goes bad, well, that's God getting back at me now, because I never spent time in prayer this week, and I never done this, and you know, so therefore God is going to hold this against me, and we're treating God as if he's some youngster that, you know, just, you know, listen, God's more mature than that, if that's a way of saying it. And so we're always trying to pick ourselves up and try to say, you know, God, I'm going to do better the next time, and I'm going to do better next, and we get up the next day and something else happens, and we got ourselves condemned all the time. And by doing that, you live in a life of frustration, never having any peace, because you're always trying to, you know, push yourself and, you know, trying to please God. But we need to understand that over here, we are secure. You know, we're in his family. And the Bible tells us that no man is able to pluck us from his hand. You know, and we need to understand the assurance that we have, the security we have right here in what Jesus has done for us. Paul says, and this is what I want to touch on tonight. Now, I didn't mean to get into what I was just getting into now. But Paul says that we, talking to Philemon, and we could use it for ourselves as well, that the communication of our faith, or the expression of our faith, of what we believe, may become effectual when we start to acknowledge everything that's in us in Christ Jesus. That's what the verse is saying. By acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, we just read the verse over 1 Corinthians chapter 30, chapter 1, verse 30. We sang the song a little earlier, Jesus Christ has made to me all I need, wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure, Jesus is all I need. Now, when we start to understand that, we're not all of a sudden thrown off course when we make a mistake or we do something that we shouldn't do or say something we shouldn't say or lose our temper or lose our cool or whatever. We're not going to throw in the towel. And see, this is where a lot of people, I've seen people, and I know you have as well, that they're over here and they're always, and you know, bless their heart, because I know they're sincere. There's no doubt about it, they're sincere. I mean, you couldn't say the Judaizers weren't sincere. Or even you can't look at the Muslims today and say they're not sincere. You know, but the Bible talks about, Paul talks about it. He said, I know the Jews, he said, they got a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. He said, because they're going about trying to seek their own righteousness, which is by works. And he said, not submitting to the righteousness of God, which comes by faith. So they're trying to please God here. They're trying to do everything here in this situation, trying everything in their power just to live in such a way that they feel God's smiling at them. And I've told you this before, God's been smiling at us for the last 2,000 years. Jesus paid the price back on Calvary, and the minute you give your life to the Lord, you're in His family. It's like if you had a child, and your child was always trying to please you, always struggling, trying to please you. And they're tensed up, and they're nervous, and they're frustrated all the time because they just felt that they weren't making their parents happy. Would you rather just have a child just relax and say, listen, you know, we're in the family, you're part of the family, we love you, you know, and just, instead of having somebody who's on pins and needles all the time. And I believe this is what God wants His family to be. Is just be assured in who we are. Well, as you know, sometimes we go away, we get other pastors to come in and fill in for us. And I don't know if this is the right way of saying it, but I've had people say to me, oh, I could never do that. Because, you know, I don't know that, you know, they might like the other pastor better than like me. You know? Now, if I'm over here living under this, that would be a threat. You know what I mean? But we've got to get secure enough to know each other and love each other enough to know that, listen, we're safe. We don't have to worry about that foolishness. Right? Because if you try to live under this here and you try to do that and think that you're scrutinized every move you make and things like that, you'll have no happiness, no peace, no joy. You know, I've seen people, and you have as well, that, you know, been trying to serve God here, and the minute they mess up or something goes wrong, they just get all frustrated. Now, they're sincere. They're sincere. But they get all frustrated because nobody loves me anymore. Everybody's against me. You know, and they just can't take that. Instead of being absolutely assured, listen, no matter how many times we fail, no matter how many times we make mistakes or somebody says something better, we're secure in what Jesus did for us. We're part of His family. But I want to touch on a couple of things here. David, back in the Old Testament, see, here's the truth of the fact. We are secure in Christ. Everything we need, as we're just saying, wisdom, righteousness, power, holiness, sanctification, redemption. Paul said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. All these things belong to us in Christ Jesus. But you see, we're living in a society, we're living in a just the way everything is. We still have this problem, think that we're serving God back here, trying to please Him somehow, trying to perform. You know, and we think that God is going to be pleased with us at how good we can perform. Well, if that's the case, what Paul said in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 there means nothing. Paul said, you're saved by grace, not by works. Not by works, lest anyone would boast. He said, by grace are you saved through faith. And he said, that's not from yourself. That's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone would boast. So we've been trying to please God right here, and we think that our performance, the better we perform, the happier God is. No, God is happy when we just relax and put our complete trust in Jesus. The just shall live by faith. Not by tension, not by, you know, all these works over there, but the just will live, just relax in what Jesus did for us. My redemption, full and sure, He is all I need. Now, but the problem is, Even though we know that, we still got a problem letting go of this part. This is what the Judaizers had a problem with. Just, man, it's so hard to let go of that. And I believe this is why David said, see, because in the spirit realm, we know that everything is already taken care of. Understand what I'm saying when I'm talking about the spirit realm and the natural realm? In the spirit realm, we know that Jesus already paid for everything. Everything's already looked after. And we can relax. As we were saying earlier, I'm covered over with a robe of righteousness. Okay, that's how God looks at me. He no longer sees the things I've done, but he sees Jesus. Okay, but our mind is still over here. Now, the mind in the scripture is your soul, your soulish realm. Okay, now, so what's happening? Our mind is thinking one thing, but we know, I mean, we really know that everything's okay, but back here, we're still having a hard time to accept that and live in it in its fullness. We still think that we've got to do something. And I believe this is why David would say, over and over, David would say, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" Because your soulish realm, the mind, the intellect, the will, and your feelings, and everything else, your soulish realm, we depend on that so much in the natural realm. You know, and this is why we get discouraged, we get frustrated, we get depressed and everything else, because we're depending, or we shouldn't be, but we are, we're depending on how we feel. And if something goes wrong, all of a sudden we get these feelings, well, people are against me, people don't love me, and you know, all these different things. And the devil will take that and work it and milk that until he drives you crazy. And you've seen people who've been driven crazy. You know, a lot of people go out and commit suicide and everything else because they've been trying to live in this realm right here and just can't get to that peace that's over in that realm. You know, and so our minds condemn us. And David would say to us, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why have you gone quiet within me?" Anybody ever experienced that sometimes? You know, we all have, because we're living in a natural world. And David said it in Psalm chapter 103, in verses 1 to 5, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." David is saying, bless the Lord. Don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget all of his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So David is saying he always had to speak to his mind and speak to his soul and say, listen, start to rejoice and start thanking God for, you know. And this is what Paul's talking about. When we start to acknowledge everything that's in us in Christ Jesus, he said, then our faith becomes effectual. You understand how you tie these two together? Over here, we're discouraged, we're frustrated, we're depressed, and everything else. The devil comes in and gives us a hard time. But David tells us the way to get out of this. He said, start to acknowledge everything that's over there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy. Don't forget his benefits. Don't forget his goodness. Don't forget he's our healer. Don't forget all these different things that he's bestowed upon us. When we start to do that, as Paul said to Philemon, he said, the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you, in Christ Jesus, he said, will make your faith effectual. I don't know if this makes any sense, but when I started reading that, I thought, man, that ties together pretty good. Because when we start to believe, confess, acknowledge everything that's within us, then it becomes a reality to us. They say that we need to hear something at least 15 times before it clicks in. Some of us are a little more dense than that. We need to hear it 1,500 times, it seems like, you know. But that's what they say. You need to hear something at least 15 times before it becomes a part of your thinking. Okay, so we're only at part 8 in Galatians, so we've still got a way to go yet. But this is what Paul's telling Philemon, and this is what David is saying. Don't forget God's benefits. Don't forget he's the one that heals you. Don't forget that he's the one that delivers you. Don't forget that he's the one that brings all these good things in your life. Now, David didn't understand about Jesus because he lived over here in the law. David didn't understand that Jesus was going to come, but he knew God had something, because God told him, he said, remember the promise God made to Abraham and your seed? They came around down to Jacob, Isaac, or Isaac and Jacob, I should say, and then to Jacob's sons, or Reuben, and all these different things, and right on down, through Judah, I should say, and right on down, and God spoke to David one time, and he said, in your seed. So God picked up the ball again and gave it to David, and he said, now David, you carry it for a while. And David's genealogy went on down through his descendants, went on down until Jesus was born in Bethlehem. That's who God, Mary and Joseph came, both. Remember, the Bible, you see, I mean, there's no words in the Bible for no, you know, they're not in there for just no reason at all. They're there for a reason. The Bible says David went down to Bethlehem, or David, Joseph went down to Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of who? David. Right? I mean, this is why God had all these things put in there for us. So God told David, David, what I promised to Abraham was going to come down through your descendants, and God kept focusing it and keeping it straight, and came down, and when it finally came down to Acts chapter 2, or Luke chapter 2, that all the world went out to be taxed, and Joseph took Mary, and they went down to Bethlehem, that's David's city, went down to Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David. So God was saying to David, David, you start to acknowledge everything that's in you, everything I've done for you, and that makes your faith strong. Paul says the same thing here to Philemon. He said, Philemon, acknowledge everything that's in you in Christ Jesus. So when the devil comes in and says, listen, you know, you should be depressed, you know, and they bring in all these kind of problems and everything else and tries to frighten you and bring all the, you know, say, listen, no, listen. I'm in Christ Jesus. He's my healing. He's my salvation. He's my redemption. He's my wisdom. He's my peace. When the devil comes in and tries to bring all kinds of confusion in your life, say, no, listen. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, was it, of course, he is our peace. You know, we sing, the scripture also says, he's our peace. He's broken down every wall of partition that was against us. He's delivered us from everything. And as long as we recognize who we are in Christ Jesus, these things will start to take place in our lives. See, I used to always think, and a lot of times we think that probably try to believe for healing, and you start thinking, you know, I got to keep my faith. I got to keep believing. I got to keep faith. I got to keep, you know, and you drive yourself crazy trying to keep your faith up there. Anybody ever do that? You know, and you know, you try and you work at it. And see, what we're doing, we're taking ourselves out of here, out of the relaxing in what Jesus already did for us, and we're putting ourselves back here, and we think we're going to get it because I can really keep my faith strong, and I can keep myself, you know, and we try to drive herself crazy trying to believe. I can't doubt. I got to keep believing. You know, and we start quoting all these scriptures. Now, don't misunderstand. There's nothing wrong with quoting the scriptures, and we need to believe. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But, you know, we depend on how good we can perform. And if I can perform good enough, if I can keep my faith up or strong enough, God is going to do something. Now, let's go over here, because he is our healing. Right? The Bible says, by his stripes we're healed. Let's relax in the fact, yes, keep your faith up and say, Lord, I don't know, the doctor says such and such, the devil's telling me this, God, but I'm just going to keep my trust in you. You don't have to drive yourself crazy over here trying to keep yourself up and trying to drive, you know, and drive everybody else crazy around you, because that's what happens, you know. No, just relax in what Jesus already did. That's why Paul says, Philemon, he said, acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. So when the devil comes in and tries to get you discouraged and everything else and says, oh, you're no good, you've messed up, you've done such and such, and, you know, say, listen, I stand complete in him. He's all my righteousness. I don't have to try to get any more righteous. He's my peace. I don't have to try to work my mind and drive myself crazy trying to get peace. Jesus is my peace. You know, so I don't know if this makes any sense to you or not, but, you know, sometimes we think that we know we can't be saved by works, but we try to do everything, you know, to drive ourselves crazy to keep up to a certain height in our faith and everything else, to be healed or delivered or blessed some way, and we think that we do it only through what we're doing. Now, don't misunderstand. There are certain things that God tells us. You know, if we give, it shall be given unto us, and all these different things. There are certain principles that we go through. We understand that. But you don't have to do it with all kinds of tension and all kinds of fear and frustration and things like that. That's where the devil wants you to be, because you don't enjoy your salvation then. You ever see somebody who's not enjoying their salvation? You know, listen, let's just relax. Our salvation is secure. As long as we keep our trust in Jesus, everything is fine. We don't have to worry about all, you know, what the devil brings in your mind and try to frighten you and everything else. Just relax. Enjoy life. Enjoy, you know. I've been reading a book I downloaded off the internet. It was called Practice the Presence of God. It was written back in the 1600s. So it's not a new book by no means. But it was written back in the 1600s, and it was written by a fellow, they just called him Brother Lawrence. And in the book, it's just interviews that this fellow that wrote it had with Brother Lawrence. He was a monk in a monastery, but he said in his church and everything else, they had all kinds of these things that they had to do to try to please God and all, you know. And he started to think things through, and he says, you know, this, I was like Martin Luther, you know, in his time. And he said, you know, this is not how God certainly can't be so bad as we make him out to be. And he said, I'm just going to relax in God. And he said, if he was going through his day and all of a sudden he made a mistake, and he did something that he shouldn't have done, he said, I go back to God and say, God, I'm sorry, I know I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. And he said, I just put it in my mind. He said, I wouldn't worry about it anymore. He said, because he said, I knew, he said, that I was sincere when I prayed about it. He said, I knew that God is sincere. It was like what we talked about here, you know, in 1 John. If we confess our sins, he's faithful, he's just. He'll forgive us our sins. If we're sincere about it, God is sincere. You know, so he said, and the devil would come after and say, yeah, but, you know, you never felt any release. You never felt any happiness. You never felt that God forgave. He said, there's nothing to do with it. He said, I brought it to God. I'm just going to trust him that he's just to do it. You know, that God is faithful to do it. And that's what, and he said, over the years, and reading now, and he's been in this, in the book that I'm in, he's been in this now for 40 years. And people have, you know, come to him with their prayer requests and all these different things. They're all nervous about different things. And he just tell them, just relax in God. And realize that you're secure, that God loves you. Jesus paid for your salvation. Everything's okay. You know, and he even went against some of the things that his church was telling him to do, because they had all kinds of these things that, you know, people had to do when they sinned. They had to go and make restitution with all these different kinds of things and say so many prayers and do so many things, and, you know, and he said, that's not God. You know, God is a loving Father. He said, like they've learned, he said, just to relax in God's love and realize that God is for him, God loves him, and we need to do the very same thing. This is what Paul is saying to Philemon. This is what David's saying back there. Don't forget, David had to tell himself, listen, don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget that you're a child of God. Don't forget that your redemption is in Jesus. There's not anything you can do. Now, he's not giving us a license to go out and sin. Paul, matter of fact, Paul mentions this. We don't use God's grace as a license to sin. Matter of fact, when you start to understand God's grace and how much he loves you, you don't want to do anything against him. You don't want to do anything that's going to be wrong. You know, somebody said to Kenneth Hagin years ago. You've heard me talk with Kenneth Hagin before, but he's dead and gone to be with the Lord now. But somebody said to him, they said, you know, when you're preaching about the grace of God, he said, you're giving people a license to sin. And he said, you know, this is Kenneth Hagin's book now. He said, you know, he said, I've noticed a lot of people sinning, he said, without a license. You're going to sin, you know, they're going to sin anyway. You know, but he said, you don't need a license to sin. People are sinning regardless. You know, and they think that living here with all these strict rules is going to keep people from sinning. How many have lived under this section right here, living by a bunch of rules? We all have. Did it stop us from sinning? No. Right? See, this is why God said, he said, I'm going to take out this heart of stone that's in you, and he said, I'm going to put in you a heart of flesh. In other words, God says, he said, the laws, see, there's nothing wrong with the law. I don't want to get into next week's message again. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law was pure, the Bible says. It was holy. But the only problem was, he said, the flesh was so weak, it couldn't keep up to it. So the law became a curse to us. Now, I'll give you next week's message. The law became a curse to us. He said, but what the law could not do, he said, grace did. The law could not make me righteous, but grace did. He said, the law made us weak, or brought our weakness to the surface, but grace accepted us as we were. This is why we sing the song, just as I am, without one plea. The only plea we've got is that his blood was shed for me. and that you bids me come to thee. That's the only plea we got. So we're trying to live right here, and we could not serve God, we could not please God under trying to keep all these rules. And God says, because of that, as I said, the law was pure, it was holy. God said, the day you come, he said, I'm going to take you to the stony heart that's in you, that's rebellious and everything else. And he said, I'm going to put a heart of flesh in you. And he said, I'll write my law in your heart. That now you're not trying to serve God by a bunch of rules. You keep them because you just love him so much. God's love, the Bible says, compels us. And once you get a revelation of what the grace of God is like, it's you'll want to serve me from your own heart. You see, it's a lot easier for me to go down the highway if the speed limit is 100 kilometers an hour. Now, if I got a stony heart and I just got a heavy foot, stony foot too probably, and I'm just barreling down the highway, it's hard for me to keep that under control. But if I just want to go out for a nice drive and I'm not in any rush and I'm just at peace, I just want to enjoy the scenery, it's a lot easier for me to go 100 kilometers an hour. I'm not keeping it because it's a strict rule. I'm keeping it because that's what I want to do. You understand? Now, that's probably a stupid example, but you get the point there. And God is saying, they can't keep my laws, but I told them, I wrote them in stone and said, listen, this is what it's got to be. But he said, no, over here, he said, I write them in your heart and you'll serve me from love. Over here, he told the people, he had to tell them, first commandment, love the Lord your God. How can you command somebody to love someone? You better love me. That just defeats the purpose, doesn't it? See, and God did that. It showed us that this is the level that God required. And the very first thing, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. But over here, see, that's a law. You got to try to keep that, and it's hard to do. But over here, after you realize what he's done for you, Jesus took the curse and he's redeemed you and all, you just love him so much. That's what grace is. See, grace empowers you to live the law. It's a whole lot easier to do it once you love what you're doing. I heard Daryl Sittler years ago with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mom was afraid to say that name, Toronto Maple Leafs. But I heard Daryl Sittler say years ago, did a documentary or interview, stuff like that, and he said, I love my job so much. He said, I haven't worked a day in my life. Now, I've heard other people say it, but when he said it, just stuck with me. He said, I love my job so much, I haven't worked a day of my life. When you're saved and you realize what God has done in his grace, you say, I love him so much that I haven't tried to keep the law of my life. I just keep it because I love him. Does that make sense? So Paul says, Philemon, this is how you make your faith strong. This is how you make your faith effectual. Acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. Paul told him, Jesus is our wisdom. He's our righteousness, our redemption. Everything we need is in him. So this is why when the Bible tells us, the Bible says faith is a substance of things hoped for. That's a different scripture now that I'm getting into. I'm not going to speak another time on that, but I just want to say that. Faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is a substance of things hoped for. And again, we could be over here, I got to keep my faith up. I got to keep my faith, I got to read the Bible, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to keep confessing, I got to, that's only 14 times a day, I got to say 17 times more. And we just drive ourselves crazy trying to keep ourselves performing to a certain level so that God can do something for us. But faith is not like that. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. When you realize that Jesus, the Bible says, don't you know always that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? You're bought with a price. Jesus paid the price. You're bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You don't have to worry about all these things anymore. He said, now you belong to God. He's redeemed you. You don't even belong to yourself anymore. You're not your own, he said. Now, some people look at that as a negative thing. This is just an illustration across my mind. When you go to other parts of the world, they look at Canada, the United States, the Western world as the richest, They think we're all multimillionaires over there. You know, oh yeah, we need a car. Can you get a car for us? You know, and they think that we got just unlimited resources. And they do anything in their power to have what we take so much for granted. Okay, I've seen this. They would do anything. If you could go over to one of them and say, listen, I got a passport here or a citizenship here, you can come to Canada and live forever. Man, they think they've gone to heaven. You know? Now, what Jesus did for us is much the same thing. We've been trying over here to live under this old system. And he said, no. He said, that was the devil's territory. Remember, he translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Okay? So, right here, we're under the devil's control. We're trying everything to get out of that and pull ourselves up and do something to please God so that God can accept us so that we'll be with him. And the devil is holding us down here, and not one person ever was able to pull themselves up out of this. None righteous, no, not one. So every single person, that's why they were under the curse we talked about this morning. So right here, we're under the devil's ownership. You understand that? But now he says, don't you know, he said, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? He said, you've been bought with a price. You're not your own anymore. You're not bound by that anymore. He said, but now you belong to God. You know, and that's not a negative thing. That's a good thing when you realize what you came from. This is a good thing. This is the whole point of what he's talking about. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. See, you know, people look at it and say, oh, I can't do this now. I belong to God. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know. No. When you come out and you start to realize what Jesus has done for you, how much he loves you, and how, the relationship you can have with him, and the grace of God, and the mercy. The Bible says we're not under law, but we're under grace. And when you start to realize that, that grace will empower you to live how you tried to live over there. You couldn't do it in your own strength, but now the grace of God will help you to live in that strength. I don't know if I made any sense tonight to you or not, but anyway, I'm going to finish up with that. But let's start realizing that once we start to acknowledge everything that's in us, but notice, it's in us, that's what I was going to mention when he said the Holy Spirit dwells within us, it's in us in Christ Jesus. So when we're looking for faith as a substance of things hoped for, we get to realize that Jesus is inside of us. Everything we need is in him. So when we're trying to believe God for healing, we're trying to believe God for salvation or maybe some family need or financial need or whatever, when we're trying to believe God, we don't have to try to work our way out there and try to find God out there somewhere. No, listen, Jesus is within us. Everything we need is in here. Not in ourselves. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But it's in Jesus, in us. You understand? So he's in us. He's become my righteousness. So when I start to look for healing, I just got to look to Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand. I know I'm pointing at myself. Don't misunderstand. I know there's people go with weird ideas about this stuff. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about Jesus is inside of us. We don't have to work our way and try to find God out there in space somewhere. Paul said, the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. That if you would speak with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation, or whatever the case might be. So everything you need is within you, in Christ Jesus. So this is what he's saying. Acknowledge everything that's in you, in Christ Jesus. I don't know if that makes any sense to me. This is, if you don't like it or not, this is good stuff. Okay, everything that we need is in Christ Jesus, and he's inside of me. He's inside of you. And you don't have to work your way up and try to scratch and claw and get yourself up to a certain level and say, oh, you know, and keep yourself under pins and needles all the time and tensed up. No, just relax, realizing that the healer lives inside of you. The deliverer lives inside of you. The peace of God lives inside of you. Everything you need is in Jesus, and he is in you.
Strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger than you know. Don't you give up now, the sun will soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find the silver lining. I've seen dreams that move the mountains.
broken hearts become brand new. That's what faith can do. It doesn't matter what you've heard. Impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step out on the water.